This morning's scripture comes from Luke 1, verse 46b through 55. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. My husband, Stephen, and I celebrated our 23rd wedding anniversary yesterday. Thinking back on those early days of our marriage, I see now how footloose and fancy-free our life was back then. We had our jobs, but that was really pretty much the only responsibility that we had. We had no children, no mortgage, no church committees, nothing. We filled our free time with things that we enjoyed, going to the movies, attending our alma mater's football games, being with friends and family. And something that we still spend much of our free time today doing, watching TV. And it wasn't highbrow stuff back then, unless you think Friends or The X-Files is highbrow. Actually, little of what we watch now is highbrow either. There was one particularly silly show that we watched. It was on the Cartoon Network. It was called Cartoon Planet. I know, it sounds like we must have been 12-year-old newlyweds, doesn't it? Anyway, it was on the Cartoon Planet that I learned the song that gave me my sermon title for today. Now, since naming this sermon, I have discovered that others know this song as well from Lamb Chop and Sherry Lewis. Kid stuff. I remember Brack singing the song to annoy Zorak, and if you recognize that reference, just give me a little thumbs up. Here's how the song goes. This is the song that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friends. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was. And now they'll sing, whoops, I messed it up. They'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song that never ends. We'll stop here so that earworm is not stuck in your head like it is in mine. Now, I share this all with you because that is what came to mind when I read something that Barbara Brown Taylor wrote about this passage of Scripture, but I'll share that with you later. Today's Scripture passage needs a little bit of context so that we can orient ourselves to what's going on. We can see that it's a quotation, but we're not even told who is being quoted. Since the passage is in the Gospel of Luke, we might deduce that maybe it's Jesus that is speaking, but this is very, very early in Luke. It's where we find all those wonderful pre-manger stories about angel visitations and unexpected pregnancies, and it's right there in the midst of those that these verses come. These verses are one side of what is shared between the two women who are carrying these blessed babies, Jesus and John. It happens this way, according to Luke. Mary travels to visit Elizabeth, and upon entering her home, Elizabeth is alerted to the presence of the Savior in Mary's womb by the leaping of the child John in her own. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth, who then pronounces a blessing over her young relative Mary and the child she is carrying. Now, Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, by the way, he's over in the corner. He's just waving because he has been speechless, literally, since the angel Gabriel visited him and told him about their baby to come. Zechariah's time to sing a song will come later in this story, but for now, after Elizabeth speaks her spirit-filled blessings, it is Mary who sings alone. It is this song which we heard this morning in our scripture reading. It is this song which bubbles out of a young girl who is setting aside all of the worries that must have filled her heart and mind since the angel left the news of her role in the story of God at her feet. Worries about how her fiancé, how her family, how her community would react to this pregnancy. Worries about whether she would be punished under the law for it. Worries that led to good questions from the ordinary ones that any woman in this position would have to those very specific to Mary's situation. What would having a child even be like? Would she be all alone? Or would someone be left by her side to help? What would it be like to raise the King of Israel? All of those worries, all of those questions are set aside as Mary breaks into song. Alan Thacker, one of our fellow choir members, shared an article with the choir this week, did you guys read it? About why singing in a choir makes those who do so happier. By the way, if you want to find out, come join us. In that article, it talks about how singing is healing, even when what we're singing about might be somewhat somber. Even when we sing the most Advent-y piece of music about waiting in the darkness for the coming of the Lord, or leading up to Easter when we sing the most Lent-y piece about being in the shadow of the cross, full of our own sins, singing heals those who sing. The article said, even though the musical content isn't necessarily joyful or soothing, endorphins release and interact with opiate receptors in the brain, diminishing pain and triggering an almost analgesic feeling in the body. Our brains get an endorphin rush. Singing can release dopamine, a chemical that works to help regulate the brain's pleasure and reward centers. Music has also been found to release serotonin that helps regulate our moods, social behaviors, and appetite. In addition, singing may increase prolactin, which is found in tears, and help regulate the immune system. That's a lot. Maybe that's why, after participating in the cantata last week, I was still singing phrases and humming melodies from it well into the week. The songs that we shared with you last Sunday were healing. They were healing all of those little injuries that day after day life inflicts. The songs were a balm for my heart and my soul, and I hope they were for any of you who were here with us last week. Mary was in the midst of great turmoil. She was the bearer of a great and dangerous burden, but also the recipient of an awesome and humbling blessing. This would have been a lot for a woman of any age to carry, for a man of any age to carry. But carry it she did, after saying to the angel visitor, "Here I am, let it be with me according to your word." After traveling many miles to the home of a trusted, wise, and righteous family member, Mary has words of affirmation and blessing meet her at the door. And this song flows out of her. A song that is not, by the way, meek and mild. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. All fear, all thoughts of hiding are banished with these words of praise. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." That is the only meek and mild thing about this song, the acknowledgement of the singer's own humble place, of the unmerited nature of the gift that was given. "Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary realizes that hers is a part of an amazing, ongoing story of God in the world, a part that is blessing outweighing any burden. Then Mary's song moves beyond herself and expands to include a declaration of what God means, what God has always meant to those who are his. "His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Her song crescendos, painting pictures of the great reversals that are the very nature of the kingdom of God. "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has fed the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Her song closes with words of remembrance, but somehow also words of prophecy at the same time. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." Mary's song is confident and sure, wise beyond her years, faithful, joyful. Mary was situated perfectly, not only to be the one to bear the Savior, but also to understand how desperately she and the world needed one. Mary was humble enough to know that not only had she not earned this honor, that she could never earn this honor, but also that she would not be able to move forward under the weight of it without the supernatural strength that only God could provide, that God would provide. Mary was wise enough not only to rest in the knowledge that God would protect her from whatever chaos might come to pass, but also to sing about it. Which brings me to the words of Barbara Brown Taylor that I mentioned at the top of the sermon. Mary's song reaches back in time and forward, listing reasons why singing praise of God is proper response. This song never ends. God's movement in the world continues day after day. Day after day, for Mary, the song never ended. Not when they left the manger, not when she sat at the foot of the cross. The song never ended. Day after day, for us too, the song has never ended. A song about what God has done for us as individuals, for us as a church, for your families, for your ancestors, for your descendants. This is the song that never ends. Yes, it goes on and on, my friends. Some people started singing it not knowing what it was, and now we continue singing it forever just because. This is his song, which never ends. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today like Mary, considering first the many blessings and, yes, sometimes burdens that your call upon our life has brought to us. But we find that we have much to sing about in our own lives and our part in your magnificent story that has gone on and will continue to go on and on. Lord, we ask that you fill our hearts with the joy that allows us to sing this song into the world, that any who have not heard it would wonder what it is and would follow us to kneel before you this Christmas. Lord, thank you for your Savior. Thank you for your call on us. And thank you for giving us much to sing about. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.